now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
It means that the 2 months has been deemed null and void by the Supreme Court. Like Cranbourne, it's a very exciting potential for the next 5 to 10 years. So it's a rapidly growing training precinct.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
Always great to catch up with Matty Stewart in his news segment. We've got plenty of news to get through to this morning, Matty, and we might kick it off with what was really sad breaking news from over in the States this morning. Probably one of the most talked about horses in the world over the past 12 months. Medina Spirit has sadly lost its life, and it was the controversial winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Medina Spirit battles on. Hot Rod Charlie on the outside. A Central Quality on the far outside. The four of them coming to the finish in the Kentucky Derby. Here's the wire. Bob Baffert does it again. Medina Spirit has won the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Bob Baffert did it again, and in the end, that created one of the biggest controversies American racing has ever seen. And, Matty, a sad end to what was a controversial life for Medina Spirit. What exactly happened this morning?
Yeah, another death at Santa Anita, which has been blighted by a lot of equine fatalities in recent years. And yesterday, our time, he was having just a 1,000-metre gallop at Santa Anita, and he had a heart attack and dropped dead. Basically, there's now an autopsy. They're taking blood, hair, urine, tissue samples to work out the absolute cause of death. But tricky with heart attacks, according to some vets that I read on a US blood horse report this morning. So the controversy was that he tested positive to betamethasone after winning the Kentucky Derby. There's still investigations and hearings and all sorts of things going on in the United States about Bob Baffert's claim that it was an ointment that caused the positive swab. Baffert's horses have been banned from competing in Kentucky as a result of the positive swab, one of many positive swabs that Baffert's had over the years. So the horse has died whilst the inquiries continue. Baffert put out a statement saying his barn is devastated by the news. He was a great champion, a member of our family, loved by all, etc. It's a terrible postscript to an already controversial story.
And there's no doubt about that, and it's making mainstream headline media over in the States. All the major news services are running with it because of the Kentucky Derby controversy and the controversy surrounding Bob Baffert. And what is, I suppose, a natural conversation stemming from this is what will the autopsy throw up? And there's a lot of discussion, a lot of debate on social media, which is having a really bad connotation for racing over there, saying that maybe because of some of the alleged drugs that were used by Bob Baffert in training may have been part of the reason for causing such a heart attack. So it's going to be another black eye for the sport in the States.
It might be a bit social media will do what social media does, of course, but possibly a little bit of a stretch to link the heart attack to the Kentucky Derby positive swab and all that sort of stuff. But that's the sort of natural discussion that's probably going to take place. But I think the autopsy, from what I'm reading, is going to be a bit open-ended anyway with a heart attack. It's very hard to determine the actual cause of heart attacks. But Santa Anita, you know, the track itself has been a killing field, but that's a bit harsh. But it certainly had a lot of fatalities, and whether or not this is in any way linked to whatever practices Bob Baffert was engaging in or potentially engaging in, I guess we may never know, although we may learn a bit more with the autopsy.
Yeah, absolutely. Very disappointing, very sad for everyone involved. Hey, Coolangatta's just trolling as we speak. How about we take this live, Scotty, and let's see if we can just dip into Coolangatta.
Here's Tirana and Redoutsol running in the lead by two lengths on Coolangatta. Then decisive move from Azure Sky. Too Hot to Trot, Always Praying, and Edgewise is still back last. Redoutsol held together, turning for home by Clark. Leads by a length and a half to Coolangatta. And then came Azure Sky. It's Redoutsol just placed under a bit of pressure now with Coolangatta striding up boldly. And on the outside, Azure Sky is trying to cause a bit of an upset here in the trial, but Coolangatta is trucking along here in the hands of Tommy Bell. Berry. And the two-year-old filly, favourite for the Magic Millions, is toying with the older horses. Coolangatta goes on to win it from Azure Sky and Decisive Move. He hit the line okay. Then Radude Sol, too hot to try.
Oh, there she is. The short price favourite for the Magic Millions, the favourite for the Golden Slipper. Maddie, I know you love these trials. The ears were pricked. Never, ever released from Tommy Berry. So that's what the Connections wanted to see. She's come back well. She'll go to the Gold Coast. She'll have a race, I believe, on Boxing Day as a lead-up to the Millions, and then all roads will lead to the Golden Slipper.
Yeah, she didn't fall over, saying it was a nice bit of work. Well done.
You are
got your little bit of trial audio.
Such a narc you are. Anyway, we're looking forward to
track gallop,
one of the good two-year-olds. Same ownership group, but a lot worse result. Bad news coming through yesterday that the Caulfield Cup winner and also the Melbourne Cup runner-up Incentivise now is likely to be out until next year's Spring Carnival with some issues after the Melbourne Cup Carnival, which we picked up by the Queensland veterinary team up there at the university. So what's the future hold for Incentivise?
Yeah, fetlock damage determined by tests taken at, I think it was the University of Queensland veterinary wing. The horse was floated up to Steve Tregay's place. There's a little bit going on here behind the scenes, I suspect. I spoke to Peter Moody about it yesterday. He was very blunt. He said, don't talk to me, talk to Steve Tregay about it. Not sure that there's a completely harmonious relationship there, but we'll wait to see how things play out. I'm not sure how the ownership group's feeling at the moment about it, but Moody, didn't want to buy in too much into the issue, and he felt that if anyone's got any queries about it, then talk to Steve Tregay about it. And the horse is now back to Queensland at Steve Tregay's farm. So I don't really know how this is going to play out. I just know that there's a little bit of discontent in the camp. Not as much from Moody's end, maybe from the other end. And we'll just have to see how things play out with Incentivise with whatever these injuries are and however long the horse stays out. But whether there's a little bit of an issue in the camp, we'll find out, I guess.
Well, we did offer and get in contact with Steve Tregay to get him on because it's a big news story, one of the most exciting horses in Australia. And the horse is back at his farm in Queensland. However, he said he's not going to make any more public comments. He's got nothing more to say about the issue. So that is surprising in itself because Steve Tregay's always been open to coming on with the media. So it does lead to the conclusion that, as you say, all is not well amongst the current team of Incentivise from an ownership and training perspective. So it's disappointing we're not going to see Incentivise racing in the Autumn Carnival, maybe in the Queensland Winter Carnival, but it may actually give the situation time to rectify itself for what the future may hold. But he is one of the most exciting horses in Australia, so it's disappointing to see that behind the scenes. But what's of more importance is the welfare of the horse and getting him back as soon as we can. So, and it just adds further to his remarkable Spring Carnival, where these issues may have been, pardon me, underlying, and the performances that he put in to bolt a Caulfield Cup in and run so gallantly in a Melbourne Cup just show the heart of the horse and how good he is. So let's hope we can see him back, and let's hope we can see everyone back on the same page as soon as possible. Matty, did you catch Brian Kruger last night? I thought it was a really great, wide-ranging interview covering a lot of topics. I love the way Brian is open to answering all questions, and he opens up and answers them forthright. And a number of the topics were what we discussed yesterday, and I loved your article that you wrote on rsn.net.au yesterday. You've dubbed Project X, sounds like something from outer space, which is this secret special maybe future block of land or parcel of land that Racing Victoria is looking at maybe developing. Now, have a listen to what Brian Kruger said about what you are dubbing maybe Project X.
If we were to do something like that, clearly it would be about keeping our options open around racing, training, education, facilities, all of those sort of things. So that's what we've got in mind. How do we deliver what's needed over the next 10, 20, 30 years in terms of both racing, training, infrastructure, but also education opportunities as well. A lot of discussion about how we manage that better, and I think if we'd, if we did acquire a property, that'd be one of the things that could be useful.
What are you reading into that, Matty?
Well, I think the thing most people are thinking is that there has to be some tie into Sandown. In order for Project X to be realised, I would imagine, and I had a good chat to Brian Kruger about this on the phone yesterday, and he says don't make any assumptions about any link to the sale of Sandown to the existence of Project X to the north of Melbourne. But you can't help but feel that one is linked to the other. If Sandown goes, Project X becomes an even more pressing reality, some would think. In regards to a major racing training potential quarantine facility, which would put a focus on the future of Werribee, staff education, horse hospital. So some very holistic, wide-ranging equine facility that is... this goes back years. Even Amanda Elliott was sort of talking about this idea of an amazing property to the north of Melbourne, which would probably have factored in the departure of the Flemington trainers eventually, although Brian Kruger did say last night that there is no imminent plan to move on the Flemington trainers. In fact, they're injecting a lot of resources into the Flemington training precinct. So if anything happens there, that's a fair way off. But I imagine that whatever this project is, and I know that they have got to the stage of looking at various sites, but they don't want to talk any further about it to upset any potential commercial arrangements that might be struck about the purchase of any sites and so on. So there's no timeline for it. They are undergoing due diligence about finding the property. I think it's a bit loose at the moment about what it actually may look like and what its function will be. Brian did say to me that, you know, if it is realised that it would make a lot of sense geographically for Victoria. At the moment, we have east and west with the horses and a lot of issues with horses getting from east to west. So maybe this may, you know, in years to come when Melbourne's population goes up by 7 or 8, you know, or I'd say it goes up by 1 million in the next 10 years, that maybe the need to have a circuit breaker between east and west will be important. So it does exist. It is a bit mysterious. There's nothing down on paper, but it is humming along, and you can't help but think that there's some tie-in to the future of Sandown.
And Brian said that maybe last night and after the last, we're still 2 years away from a final decision. They need to go through all the planning and everything like that. And he said there is still a very good chance that you could race at Sandown with a smaller footprint and some of the exterior land sold off for development while still retaining Sandown as a race course there as well. The other issue that I thought was interesting that he touched on that we've spoken about here since the announcement of the welfare paper was dropped last week was how on earth is it going to be implemented from a national basis? This is what he had to say on that.
We're absolutely supportive of a number of the things that are talked about needing a national approach. There's no question that's necessary. And as you say, with RA, us having the impasse that we've got at the moment, unfortunately, we're not meeting, and therefore those equine welfare issues aren't being discussed at a national level. Personally, I think it's going to be critical that the PRAs do come together on this issue of equine welfare. It's an area where we should be aligned. The issues that are raised in the report about the difficulties of doing things on a state in a state-based way, I think, are very relevant. There'll be something that needs to happen at the state level, but we need a national body that is driving a lot of those equine welfare initiatives that are mentioned in that report, and it's incumbent on all of us to make sure we get together and make that happen.
I hope... with all fingers crossed that that will occur, but I just can't see how it's going to happen. Has there been any word from Racing New South Wales on the report publicly about willing to work together with the other principal racing authorities?
Well, I think what Brian's comments last night suggest that no, there hasn't been, because if there had been, that would have been something he would have reported last night. So we can assume that there's no response from Racing New South Wales at the moment. I think what we're seeing is that this is the test of Peter Volandis and just, you know, how staunch he is in his refusal under all circumstances to come to the RA table. Like, tactically, I mean, if I was Peter Volandis, I'd be thinking, this is something that I can jump on board with, look good, be part of a something that is for the national good, and still... whatever, carry on how he likes with his other projects, with his pop-up races and so on. Like, if you were to be tactical and you were Peter Volandis, you'd say, yeah, I'll give him this one. I'll come to the table on this, but I'm not going to come to the table on anything else. So that's a pretty of a bleak interpretation of it from me. But John Massara, I believe, is absorbing the document. You know, he's as of a week ago, he hadn't looked at it, but he's absorbed it. He's getting his head around it. Brian Kruger did say last night also that John Massaro was frustrated, very frustrated with the inaction from Racing New South Wales. So, but as we were discussing it when it was launched, it just seems it's all well and good to create this. And it is a terrific document and it is a great template and so on. But if it can't be implemented, then I'm not sure where it ends up. It just spins around in space, doesn't it? So, well, I think time will tell now. There's got to be some sort of sense of urgency about people getting around the table and taking it further. So I guess the next couple of weeks will determine if Peter Valenti is prepared to take this on board or whether he sits back and says, we've got our own policy, Racing Victoria's got their own policy, we don't need anything overarching us to tell us how to look after horses. So, you know, who knows? But I think it's a terrific document, but whether it can be utilised by a national body that doesn't have any teeth, well, that remains to be seen.
Well, traceability is one key area that it needs to be national because that's where horses are moving through state borders. So we'll wait and see what that is. Just on Racing New South Wales, just quickly, I did see a report on the ABC. Is there some issue with compensation claims or a surveillance issue from Racing New South Wales as well, which seems rather bizarre?
Yeah, there was a story on ABC yesterday about Racing New South Wales. There's a particular issue with a woman called Joanne Howard who was injured in a work-related incident in quite a few years ago, and she's been getting compensation from Racing New South Wales since. But they have seemingly gone to the nth degree with their private investigators and surveillance and hiding behind trees with cameras, whether she's at a grandson's birthday party, the supermarket, the Tamworth Music Festival. They seem to have followed her around everywhere for years and years and years to try and disprove her claim that she's entitled to a large amount of ongoing compensation. Racing New South Wales has basically said, look, our evidence suggests that there is no way that this woman's claim is accurate. We've got lots and lots of surveillance footage to say that her claim is wildly exaggerated and she's not entitled to the level of compensation that she's getting. She's basically saying that she's on heavy painkillers and what they're seeing on this footage is not a true indication of her suffering. But it's gone to the State Insurance Regulatory Authority who is investigating the nature of Racing New South Wales' surveillance. They've done this probably a handful of times in the last few years with extreme surveillance. And this has been considered by this this body, CIRA, the State Insurance Regulatory Authority, to work out if it's a legitimate claim or not, or if Racing New South Wales is going a little bit off the charts in trying to pursue this woman. She said some of what she described as stalking has been absolutely terrifying. She's been terrified by it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
At last one, Matty, before I let you go, official nominations open today for All-Star Mile. Zaki, one of the most exciting horses in Australia, equal favourite with about three others in the early markets. Is there some doubt on Zaki being aimed towards an All-Star Mile now?
Yeah, the niche is saying that it's the date is just no good for her. So on Golden Slipper Day, she, like everyone else, is saying that it has to be run before the Australian Cup, 2 weeks before, not after. She said if it was run in a sensible parlay, a mile up to 2,000 metres, a fortnight later, Zaki would probably be here, but at the moment, with it being back to front, the horse is unlikely to be here.
Okay, sounds like it's 12 months too early. Well, the movement of the races are 12 months too late for Zaki. Matty, comprehensive as always. We'll read all about it at rsn.net.au.
Thanks, Michael.